This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. The United States strikes Iranian targets in Syria.
Keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to the program, and we have got breaking news. It broke last night, but it's continuing today, and that is the United States carried out two airstrikes against facilities used by the Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard. Now, this wasn't just a strike on proxies. This was a strike on Iran because they utilized these two facilities inside Syria. So they were in eastern Syria early Friday. It's a retaliation for the recent rocket activity, which has gone against American forces in both Iraq and in Syria. The strikes were carried out by Air Force F-16s against a weapons storage facility, again, controlled by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, as well as an ammunition storage facility. The idea here, and I think you got to put this in context with the fact that we have in the region right now two massive naval carrier groups. So the United States is trying to send a message here globally, but most importantly right now, Andy, regionally.
Oh, that's exactly right, Jay. The USS Gerald Ford, the USS Dwight Eisenhower. The Eisenhower is in the Persian Gulf. The Ford is in the Eastern Mediterranean. There are a variety of destroyers and American ships there. And the statement that was made by Lloyd Austin, the Secretary of Defense, is that, look, these are not these are strikes that are being made just because we have to defend our troops there. There are 2,500 U.S. troops in Iraq and 900 in Syria helping local counterterrorism missions against the Islamic State, and this is a retaliation against the Iranian-linked groups, as Jay said, for attacks on U.S. forces.
So what they're trying to do is to cabin this to say, hey, look, this has nothing to do with what's going on between Israel and Hamas. And in technically, I think that's correct. In the geopolitical situation, though, I don't think that's going to fly because, look, Hamas and Hamas leadership and the Ayatollahs are meeting with the Russians. Here's a book I did a couple of years ago called Unholy Alliance. The picture on the cover is the Ayatollah with Vladimir Putin. This is the world we're living in. And this was about 6 years ago. This is the world we're living in right now. And I talked about that right now. I said it's the agenda for Iran, Russian jihadists for world conquest. And that's what it is. So the United States, I think, is sending a very strong and important message. And I think President Biden was right, and we should be supporting our troops as they engage in this. But make no mistake, this was and this is a going to fit into the geopolitical situation and the military situation in the Middle East. Do we have a map of the whole area, like Syria? I mean, when you look at the area, folks, and Andy and I have been to this region a lot, you're talking about a small area with a lot of countries. These countries have borders with each other in multiple locations. Israel borders Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, and Egypt in portions in the far south. So all of this, what happens in one area impacts the others directly.
Yes, it's like looking at a map of the Northeast with Connecticut, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Massachusetts. They're all bunched together. They're all geographically very close to each other. And what occurs in one region has consequences. But as Jay said, this is not tied. What happened in the United States' action last night was not tied to what is happening in Gaza with Hamas. This is an attack an action by the United States to protect our own troops.
It is. We are going to be joined by Alan Dershowitz next because Professor Dershowitz knows firsthand what's going on in these college campuses where we've got a student representing students at Rutgers University right now. This problem, this anti-Semitism on campus has reached an unprecedented height. We're just a day now away from ending our first time ever, or a couple days away from ending our first time campaign for what we're calling our ACLJ champions, where our goal was 2,000. How close are we, Will? I mean, we got to be really close. Within 50? Probably. Under 300 from our goal. Okay, so we still got a ways to go. So again, go to aclj.org/champions. That's aclj.org/champions. When you give monthly to the ACLJ, you become an ACLJ champion. You're standing with Israel. You're standing with these students, all these cases we have. You're standing for a champion for life, liberty, and freedom. aclj.org/champions. the broadcast, everyone. We're joined by a very good friend of ours and someone I have a tremendous amount of respect and esteem for. And unfortunately, I get to call him now colleague because we've handled a major case together, more than one, I should say. And that is Professor Alan Dershowitz. And Professor Dershowitz, I want to start with, you were at Harvard for a long time. You've been you're an emeritus professor now. We're getting calls from Jewish students all over the country and some Christian Zionist students as well, that the harassment they're having on campus is unprecedented. What's your sense of what has happened here? It used to be these campuses were the bastion for free speech and the marketplace of ideas. That's what the Supreme Court used to call it. But we're in it seems like a whole different world right now.
Well, they've never been a bastion of free speech. In the 1930s, at Harvard, Nazis were welcome. The school sent the delegation to a Nazi university that just fired all of its Jews. Harvard has had anti-Jewish, anti-Catholic quotas for many, many years. So obviously things have gotten much, much, much worse. What Harvard did recently was just outrageous. It set up a commission to protect the anti-Semites, to protect the students who blamed all of this on Israel while not doing a damn thing to protect the Jewish students, the Christian students, the students who support Israel, the students who are against anti-Semitism. They're on their own. But the bigots are being protected. There's a whole commission set up to make sure that they continue to coddle these students. These are 33 student groups that blame, on the day after, even before Israel did anything, they blame the rape, the murders, the beheadings on the Jews and on Israel. And I have, as an emeritus professor at Harvard, still associated with the university, I have demanded that the university publish the names of the students in these groups that have blamed these rapes on Israel. And as the result of me and others calling for the naming of these students, Harvard instead has said, no, we're going to provide services to help the students protect their anonymity. You know, you're an expert on the First Amendment, as am I. There's nothing in the First Amendment that protects the right of somebody to call for the murder and the rape of people and then hide behind their organization and refuse to disclose their names. This isn't doxing. We're not talking about disclosing people's sexual orientation or where they live. We're talking about these are people who defended the rape, the murder, and the beheading of people publicly. And we want to know their names so that employers can know if they want to hire, as, for example, young lawyers, people who support rape. You're a lawyer. Would you want any of your clients to have imposed on them a lawyer who defends rape and beheadings? Of course not. We have a right to know that. So I'm in a big fight with Harvard about that. I'm on the side of the First Amendment, not on the side of coddling these adults. And some of them are 25, 26 years old, who are going to be our future leaders, who are fomenting anti-Semitism, harassment, attacks on Jews, attacks on Christians on campus. Because I have to tell you, scratch an anti-Zionist and you get an anti-Christian right away. Somebody who's against the Judeo-Christian tradition, against America. Israel is always the canary in the mine, and it's the canary in the mine now too.
You've got a book coming up, by the way, in December that's available for pre-order now. It's called The War Against the Jews, How to End Hamas Barbarism. It's available for pre-order on Amazon. I encourage people to get it. Professor Dershowitz is a fantastic writer and lawyer, but you couldn't talk about a more timely topic. All right, so we've got a situation, Alan, that, you know, you scratch your head here. I've got a student, not going to name that student right now, but because we're in administrative, you got these administrative review processes at Rutgers University, law student, and he's the Jewish student standing up for Israel and just making statements. He's the one that they're bringing up on charges. This is how reverse this whole thing has come.
That's happened in a number of places. I've gotten now about a dozen emails from students and professors who have been called in front of administrative disciplinary boards for standing up to these bigots and anti-Semites. At one school, you had students ripping down every single poster that had a picture of a kidnapped Israeli with nothing being done. It's on videotape. And then a professor at one of them ripped down a sign calling for the end of Israel, and he's been disciplined. So we have a complete double standard. It starts with Harvard coddling these students who are anti-Semites and bigots and doing nothing to protect the victims. And, you know, one of the things that's so important, this is a dynamic that's hard to understand. the attacks on Jews and the attacks on Israel began well before Israel even counterattacked against Hamas. As soon as Israelis were raped and murdered and beheaded and kidnapped, that's when the anti-Semites crawled out from under the rocks. And, you know, these are anti-Semites who I have taught. They have looked me in the eye. I've looked them in the eye. These are students. These are kids who are going to be our future leaders 10, 15 years from now. Do not treat them as children. Treat them as adults. Every law firm in the country should know whether it employs people who are members of the National Lawyers Guild. The National Lawyers Guild started as a communist front organization. It then turned into a radical, hard-left, anti-Israel organization. On the day after the massacres on October 8th, they issued a statement defending the Hamas murders, saying they were a militarily appropriate response to Israel's occupation, blaming Israel for everything, not demanding a return to the hostages. National Lawyers Guild. There are National Lawyers Guild groups in every major law school in the country. I want to know their names. I want every law firm that hires a member of the National Lawyers Guild today, knowing that the National Lawyers Guild supports rape, murder, and beheading. I want every client to know who their lawyers are. We need to know that. This is not McCarthyism. This is the opposite. This is exactly the transparency that the marketplace of ideas demands. You have to know who the people are. What is their background politically? Are they communists? Are they Nazis? If we had people supporting lynching on college campuses of blacks today, or the raping of other women, or the shooting of gay bars, we'd want to know who those students are. Every law firm would want to know, do you actually support the shooting of gays because of their lifestyle, the murder of Jews, the raping of women? Do you support that? Well, we're not going to hire you. Winston and Strawn said that, a law firm,
yes,
to this miserable woman at NYU who blamed everything Israel. And the students at NYU now are supporting her, are backing her.
Yeah, this is the irony of all this. And you mentioned, you know, in right down the street from NYU, of course, is the United Nations, where you've got the Secretary General giving a cover to Hamas, saying, well, of course this kind of action happened. And then he said they've been oppressed for all of these years. And, you know, what do you expect? Now, even the Prime Minister of Great Britain is calling that out and saying this is absurd language coming out of the United Nations.
Well, I live four blocks away from the Secretary General of the UN on the north side and about 10 blocks away from the UN on the south side. So I see it all and I experience it all. Look, the UN has been the dishirma of anti-Semitism since the Soviet Union turned against Israel in 1967. Remember, the Union and the UN supported Israel's establishment in 1948. But as soon as the Soviet Union changed, American communists changed, the American left changed, and many, many nations around the world changed. And the UN has been part of the problem. And the Secretary General, who was regarded as being the least anti-Israel Secretary General in many years, just stepped into it. The idea that you put rapes and murders in context like this just disqualifies him. And I think his days as Secretary General are numbered.
I agree. The British are already calling for it. By the way, Professor Dershowitz's new book is going to come out on December 5th, The War Against the Jews, How to End Hamas Barbarism. It's available pre-order right now on Amazon, and I encourage people to get this book. These books that Professor Dershowitz does are very, very, I call them compact in the sense you can read them, you're done with it, and you've got an understanding of the topic. So, Alan, thanks for being with us, and thanks for being such a great voice.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. You've been a great voice for liberty as well.
Thank you very much. Alan Dershowitz, by the way, you know, great lawyer, too. I have to say that it's been an honor working with him. But, Andy, you know, he points the point. I mean, the world is stacked against Israel, and we're watching right now that there is, you know, major activity going on in Gaza right now. None of that to be a surprise. I expect we're hours or days away from a major incursion.
No, once again, Professor Dershowitz has really articulated the situation that exists in the Middle East and in Israel very well, and he has spoken very eloquently and strongly and powerfully regarding this idea that there is an undercore of anti-Semitism that lies there, and strike a Zionist Zionist, and you'll find an anti-Zionist, and you're going to find an anti-Semite, I think is what he said, Jay. And I think he's absolutely correct on that. And he also, another thing I just want to emphasize is that this is not just an attack on Israel. It's an attack also on Christianity.
It's exactly right. 238 members is what we need. 238 people to become ACLJ champions. We reach our stretch goal. I got the exact number. And those are people that donate each and every month to the ACLJ. You'll, of course, be standing with Israel, standing with those whistleblowers we're representing, standing for election integrity that we've got lawyers out litigating right now. So, again, starting Monday in court, go and become a part of an ACLJ champion program. You go to ACLJ.org/champions. You're standing with Israel, standing on all of our issues. You're a champion for life, liberty, and freedom. What it means is you're just committed to making a donation each and every month, and we're going to get to that 2,000 goal. And in a year, by the way, from now, I want to say we're at 30,000. We're at about 17,000 now, so it's growing. ACLJ.org/champions. A lot more coming up. Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. And we are taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Get your reaction to President Biden ordering a strike in Syria and in Iraq directly against the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. I mean, this wasn't a proxy shot. This was a direct shot. I'm personally glad he did it. I think we have to be sending a message, and I appreciate our military and our pilots that were able to successfully execute this mission. I'm sure there's more coming because that's just the nature of what these things are. But again, your reaction to that at 1-800-684-3110. Also, you need to know what's going on around the world. So and this is not shocking, but troubling. Iran's foreign minister accused the U.S. of directing Israel's war. That's what they've been accusing, and that's against Hamas. So you now have, though, meetings taking place at the highest level between Russia hosting Hamas and Iran for meetings in Moscow. I mean, I want you to think about this for a moment. In Moscow, right now, meetings between Russia, Iran, and Hamas. So there's your new alignment. When you talk about real politic, there's your alignment. And, of course, China, not just in the shadows or not just in the backgrounds, but China, of course, an active part of this too. Remember, it was just last week that Putin was with Xi. So you look at all of this, Andy, and you say to yourself, we've got a new geopolitical conglomeration coming here that's got unbelievable repercussions.
That's true, Jay. What you have is another axis. In view, study World War II, you had the Berlin Tokyo axis and Rome axis, and this was an axis that ran from Germany through Italy and to Japan. You are now having another axis of evil that is forming. You have the Chinese, you have the Russians, and you have Hamas getting together and spearheading actions that against Israel that are ultimately intended to be against the United States. Think of this, the foreign minister of Iran standing on United States soil in the United Nations in New York saying to the United States, you won't be spared, to say that to us. You won't be spared if the Israel-Hamas war spreads. What kind of an incitement is that for him to be making to us in the United States? And I want to see a reaction from the President of the United States to something like that that is more than just words. I want to see actions taken when the Iranian foreign minister can stand on U.S. soil and make that kind of a threat.
But there's even more to it than that, Andy. And what you've got is, so a pair of delegations from Iran and from Hamas came to Moscow, where Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov's team met with Israel's enemies, and which are the U.S. enemies as well, as the war in Gaza threatens to expand. The talks focused on the, quote, recent Israeli aggression on the Gaza Strip and the strategies to halt Israeli crimes, which are backed by the U.S. and many Western nations. This is according to a Hamas statement on Telegram, which is a device, a platform they utilize. Then it says Russian officials confirmed the visit, saying the meeting with Hamas was focused on the continuation of the Russian course towards the release of foreign hostages present in the Gaza Strip. So they used the guise of the discussions of getting the hostages out, which Qatar is supposed to be negotiating, by the way. All of this, you got to understand what's going on here. These moving parts are dangerous players, and these dangerous players have dangerous ramifications. And I think President Biden was correct in taking the action he took yesterday. That is the strikes against those Iranian direct targets. These were not proxies. These were Iranian targets by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, and that is an elite army. Don't kid yourself. And I think the president was right, and our military executed it flawlessly. We're taking your phone calls to get reactions to this on all the topics we talked about today at 1-800-684-3110. Diane's calling from Nevada on line one, a question about the students that are being harassed around the country. Diane, go ahead.
Yeah, Jay, I'm 70 years old, so I grew up in the 60s. I know about protests, and I know about protests on college campuses. And I don't know if any of the students who have been contacting you have been injured or harassed or touched or anything. And if they have, and these ones that unfortunately had to barricade themselves with, you know, protesters pounding against the glass.
Cooper Union College, correct. They had to go into a safe room. I mean,
have any of them been arrested?
Not a soul. There's been no arrests. There have been no attempts to even issue a statement of condemnation against these students. The Jewish students are the ones contacting us. They're the ones getting the administrative reviews within the college campuses. No, Diane, it's upside down. And listen, I'm not that far behind you in age. I remember the 60s and 70s, too, because I was born in 56. So when I was in college, this was going on in high school as well. But here's the problem. We live in a very different world. We live in a social media world. We live in a world where communication is just handled on a different level. But you put all of this together, who would have thought that students would be coming out supporting a group that's beheading women, children, and elderly in their homes? Hamas, a terrorist organization that even the European Union, with the assistance of our ECLJ, European Center for Law and Justice in Strasbourg, France, putting that out and getting that resolved. Who would have thought it would reach this kind of situation? So there you have it. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, whether it's on the military strike, whether it's the student situation, or any of the topics that we're talking about. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and get Mark from Oregon on line two. Hi, Mark.
Howdy. Hi. Thank you, guys. Sure. So I guess I don't realize we can initiate a strike on foreign soil without declaring war, or did we declare war?
No, you don't have to declare war for a military strike. Proactive, the president has the authority to protect our troops, and that's what this was. So in other words, if you have a declaration of war, yes, you get a declaration of war, but the president is, under the Constitution, the commander-in-chief. So he can initiate military action taken to take out an enemy of the United States when that enemy has already caused harm on the United States, which is why the predicate to the attack, the airstrikes, were the attacks on U.S. military that has left many, many, I think two dozen U.S. soldiers injured. So, of course, the president doesn't have to wait for an act of Congress, Andy, to get that done.
No, the president has the absolute right to do that in defense of American service personnel overseas, and that's exactly what he did in this case, and I think that was a correct move. I think he protected us the way he should have done, and he is, and I hope he continues to take that kind of action with respect to the Hamas and the Iranian-backed organizations that are attacking our personnel in the Middle East, Jay.
I think that's exactly correct. All right, we're going to take your phone calls in the second half hour of the broadcast. So Robert and Stephen and others that are on the line, 1-800-684-3110, stay on the line. We're going to get to you in the next half hour. Again, 1-800-684-3110. We started the day needing 238 new champions for our goal of 2,000. What is an ACLJ champion? These are individuals. There are started the year this month with 15,000 ACLJ champions. These are people that stand with the ACLJ each and every month with recurring donations. However, we decided and we really felt like we needed to double that. And that's a big goal. So you need to add about 1,500 a month or so to do that over the course of a year. We also know there are going to be months when we can't even talk about it because other things are going to be happening. But we did a stretch goal this month. And that stretch goal was to get to 2,000. We started the day with 238 short of our goal. We are down to 226 short of our goal. So what I'm going to encourage you, when we go to the break, go to aclj.org/champions and become an ACLJ champion. You're going to stand with Israel. You're going to stand with the whistleblowers we represent. You're going to stand for election integrity, religious freedom, First Amendment. We've got a lot to stand for, and we are standing strong. But become a champion for the ACLJ. Again, aclj.org/champions. aclj.org/champions. Any amount you donate, make it a monthly gift, and you become an ACLJ champion. Like I said, we are 226 away. I'm hoping that by the time we end the program, we're under 220 away. So during the break, go to aclj.org/champions. We'll be back with more including your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110 in a moment.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jay Seculo.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. First half hour, we had Alan Dershowitz talking about the harassment Jewish students and pro-Zionist Christian students are having on college campuses. ACLJ working on that. We've got a case involving Rutgers University. We talked about the fact that President Biden ordered airstrikes yesterday against Iranian Revolutionary Guard facilities and ammunition facility and missile facility. These were direct attacks on Iranian assets in Syria and Iraq. So this is Syria. And the importance of this was it was directly against known Iranian Revolutionary Guard facilities. I think it's necessary. Some are saying, well, this is escalating in the region. The Pentagon saying this is not to be connected to the Israel-Hamas conflict, and that part's true. But you got to understand something. When you got Hamas meeting with Russia, Iran meeting with Russia, and it's all taking place in Moscow, Andy, nothing good is coming out of this new axis of evil.
It absolutely is not. And this is a new axis of evil that's mirroring the axis of evil that we had in World War II. Now, Moscow, ever ready to take a position against the United States, ever ready to do anything that undermines American interests, including our liaison, our close ties with Israel in the Middle East, is now saying, come to Moscow and let's sit down together and figure out what we can do.
But you mentioned that at the UN, the Iranian foreign minister made horrific statements. Yes. Take a listen to this one.
I say frankly to the American statesmen who are now managing the genocide in Palestine that we do not welcome to expansion of the war in the region. But I warn, if the genocide in Gaza continues, they will not be spared from this fire.
I'm telling you. This is, we are looking at a conflict here that is escalating quickly. Israel needs to get in when they can, and they got to call the timing on this and get that job done. And you got to eliminate Hamas. They've got to be gone. There's no middle ground here. Some people said, if they release the hostages, maybe then Israel doesn't go in. Hey, they just slaughtered 1,400 Israelis, Jews, frankly. Greatest death of Jews since the Holocaust. We're taking your phone calls at 800-684-3110. When we come back from the break, we're going to take a call from Justin, from Stephen, from Michelle, and others. So you all hang on the line here. But I want to tell you something that's unique about the American Center for Law and Justice. First of all, we bring you this broadcast 5 days a week where you get this kind of information. We're broadcast on radio stations throughout the country, on every social media platform we can be on. We're on Rumble, which is our preferred provider, but also YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, which is now X, which I noticed we're starting to get a lot of viewers. So it's all growing. We're able to get you this information like this. We're able to have experts on our team like Mike Pompeo, Rick Grenell, Tulsi Gabbard, who will be coming up in the next two segments from now. I mean, we have a team here at the ACLJ that can engage. We've got an office in Jerusalem, fully engaged. We have an office at the European Center for Law and Justice in Strasbourg, France, and that's why we're able to get that resolution out of the European Parliament. First time is a positive Israel resolution in the European Parliament's history, I believe. None of this can happen, though, without your support. We have relied on, in the past, ACLJ members who support our work each and every month. And we're a large organization. We had about 15,000 members. Logan said last 2-3 months ago, we need to double that in a year. There's got to be a way to do it. So our team came together, and we put together this ACLJ Champions program. And I'm happy to say that what our goal was, 1,500 new members a month over about 10 or 12 months, we could double that from 15,000 to 30,000. Well, I could tell you that we have a stretch goal this month of 2,000, and we are less than 226 away. I don't have the exact number right now. Well, 220. So that's another 6 new ACLJ champions. So let's get that under 215 by the time this broadcast is over. Would be great. And then we want to be able to get there by the end of the month. It simply means you're going to support us each and every month. It could be $5, $20, $50, $100, whatever it is. You still are an ACLJ champion. So go to ACLJ.org/champions. You're standing with us in all of our fights. Right now, standing with us, of course, standing with Israel. A champion for life. a champion for liberty, a champion from freedom. We've got cases in court next week on election integrity. We've got briefs that we're filing on this 14th Amendment case. And, of course, our team's working in Israel. There's a lot of stuff I can't even tell you that we're doing on the Israel conflict. ACLJ.org/champions. Everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Justin is calling from California on line 4. Justin, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Justin?
Thanks so much for taking my call, Jay. Yeah, appreciate you and everything you do. Yeah, obviously the situation's deteriorating rapidly. We now have a nucleus forming of between Syria, Iraq, Iran, China, and Russia. It's a mess. As Israeli troops mobilize now into Gaza, do the Israelis take and hold the Gaza region for good, and at least for now? And is there perhaps a two-state solution sometime in the future that could be negotiated?
I think the politics right now, I think the idea of a two-state solution, if you look at it, is absurd. They've been trying for 30, 40, 50 years. It's never going to happen, or it doesn't appear to happen. You got to root Hamas out. This is the great difficulty here for Israel, is what do you do with Gaza once you go in? They've been in there before, and they don't want to stay. Harry's our director of public policy, and when you've got a situation like this, you've got an objective, which is to root out Hamas and get rid of the Hamas element, which is the government in Gaza right now. The difficult question really is, who takes charge after?
Absolutely. So if you go back in history, in 2005, Ariel Sharon made the difficult decision of leaving Gaza. And the argument was that Gaza would become the next Hong Kong or the next Monte Carlo, kind of an international area. It has not turned out well. And basically what has happened is Gaza has become home to Hamas, a terrorist organization. And now I think Israel faces the likelihood that it must go back into Gaza, reoccupy, and Israel, I think, has to give up the illusion that there is indeed a feasible two-state solution. Yeah. Because a two-state solution under the leadership of Hamas means the extermination of the Jewish state.
Okay, I am getting reports from colleagues in Israel right now that the invasion of Gaza has commenced. So we're looking at it right now. And major incursions have massive invasion. I just got this from the team I'm working with in Israel, that a massive Israeli invasion of Gaza is beginning now. They're calling this Israel's D-Day. We knew this had to happen. The hostages had not been released. They released 4. You can't let this sit forever. I hate it for the hostage situation. We're still working aggressively on this, folks. Believe me, the ACLJ is fully involved on this. But Andy, here you go.
Well, it was inevitable, wasn't it, Jay? I mean, it was inevitable. I think that there was peace. The Hamas broke that peace. They broke it in a horrible, horrific, inhumane, barbaric manner by murdering people, by cutting their heads off. The Israeli forces, the defense forces, had to respond. And now, finally, we have to take that D-Day step. June 6, 1944 has become October 27, 2023.
Yep.
Another day that will go down in history.
Yeah. 1-800-684-3110. Stevens calling from California. You're on line 5. Let's get verifications of what's happening. We do know that there's a rocket barrage going on right now into Tel Aviv. Now, that still could be coming from Gaza, but you also have to make sure it's not coming from elsewhere. And I'm sure they're looking at that right now. Also, the United States has shot down some drones that were encroaching on U.S. territory or U.S. military bases, folks. This is the real deal, and we're giving you the analysis right now. Stephen, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call, Jay. I really support all that you do. I really like what you guys do. But I wanted to, and I don't mean to distract from the more seriousness of the attack that's going on, but it just seems real coincidental that Biden decided to take this military action so soon after Mike Johnson was a real conservative leader for the Republicans to be the House.
I don't think there's any relation. Let me tell you why. Okay, the strikes against Syria were in response, direct response to attacks against U.S. military by the Iranian National Guard, a Revolutionary Guard. So that's where this can get very conflated. So we have to be careful here, but that's what we're talking about. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard did this actions against U.S. troops. The strikes were strategic in that regard. And I think we have, I appreciate what you're saying, but we've got to be careful in our geopolitical discussions, Harry, to not conflate domestic policy with an international incident on something that is very, very serious in the Middle East right now.
I think that's true. And for purposes of background, we should also note that Hamas and Hezbollah are quite willing to sacrifice the Palestinian people in favor of their existential and religious objective of eliminating the Jewish state. And so now the United States, in my view, is likely to become fully engaged. And this also may mean that the United States will have to prepare itself that it will receive counterattacks from Russian-supported operatives in Syria and perhaps in Lebanon. So the United States faces the prospect of a wider conflict. In the meantime, I would urge President Biden to immediately reimpose all former sanctions on Iran.
100%.
Don't wait. Make sure that they pay an economic price and make sure that that price is going to be paid for the foreseeable future.
Okay, here's another issue with that, and I totally agree. And that is the airstrikes that are going on by Israel into Gaza right now are significant. I'm getting the reports coming from my colleagues. Let me tell you something else that's significant, okay? Gaza's only 25 miles long. So all of this conflict's taken over. Just think about how that's like going from one little city in some place to another city in some place. It's not a lot of territory. We are taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Let's go to Michelle in California on line 3.
Hi, Jay. Thank you for taking my call. I'm kind of nervous because I'm a first-time caller. But I just wanted to let you know that Biden was elected because he is a nincompoop. He cannot know his left from his right. He's an extension. Actually, he's a puppet, and Obama is the one who's running the show behind the scenes.
Well, it's the same people that were in the Obama administration have now been elevated to more senior positions inside the Biden administration. Yeah, that part's correct. Look, I think right now I think we've got ourselves in a mess. The country's in a mess. I mean, Middle East is a mess. Ukraine and Russia is a mess, and that is policy decisions have an impact.
Well, you know, we had the Abraham
Winston Churchill.
We had the Abraham Accords, Jay, didn't we, under President Trump? We had peace in the Middle East under President Trump. I have to say that we were oil independent. An egg didn't cost a dollar, and now we've got war in the Middle East and Israel and having to defend itself, and let's keep that in mind, to defend itself is having to invade Gaza to repulse the attacks that Hamas has leveled against
it. I'm dealing with lawyers in Israel on a daily basis with regular phone calls in the evening our time and in the morning. I was on a call this morning. One of my colleagues just said, the one that just said, this is Israel's D-Day, but this is what they're concerned with, folks. Soon, this is what he wrote, soon news outlets will be filled with condensations, half-truths, and fake news. Please activate your media and government relations teams. Let's make every effort to give Israel the space it needs to get the job done. And you got to emphasize that Israel's not at war with Palestinians. It's a war against Hamas. Destroying Hamas is the only chance for a long-term peace in the region. Hamas are not, and by the way, in Al Jazeera, you're going to start seeing news reports out of Al Jazeera. Harry, these are not credible sources.
I think that's correct. But also, listeners should keep in mind that Hamas is prepared right here, right now, to sacrifice the Palestinian people for their long-term objective. And so from the perspective of Hamas, Palestinian casualties are actually good news, sadly. And so I think, yes, we need to be prepared for the public relations war, which is ongoing and which has been ongoing since October the 7th. Keep in mind, there are individuals in the United States who are blaming Israel for the murders, the rapes, and the barbarity that occurred on October the 7th at the hands of Hamas supporters.
Folks, we're taking your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. And we're going to leave phone lines open for the last segment, which we normally don't do, but we are going to do that today. So 1-800-684-3110. this is about to be a major conflict. I mean, it's already been a major conflict, but it's going to increase drastically, folks. So be praying for our leaders, including the president, our Secretary of Defense. Pray for the leadership in Israel from all of the different parties. Pray for those soldiers, both the U.S. soldiers and the Israeli soldiers that are now on the front lines of this. Pray for our Navy who's in the region. There's a lot to be praying for. All right, I also want to let you know we'll take calls, 800-684-3110. So Joanne, Anthony, and others, hang on the line here. I'm going to get you in the next segment. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. Let me encourage you to do something. We are less than, I'm sure, 226 away, probably under 220 away from reaching our goal for our ACLJ champions. These are people that are standing with the ACLJ each and every month. Right now, standing with Israel is paramount. But we've got lawyers in election integrity cases next week in Colorado. We are handling issues at the United Nations. We were in the European Parliament this last week. I will tell you, I may have a delegation in our Washington office is fully engaged right now on an Israel matter, including the hostages. There's a lot going on. Become an ACLJ champion, which means you're donating each and every month. ACLJ.org/champions. That's ACLJ.org/champions. We're keeping the phone lines open for this next segment, 1-800-684-3110. Update from our team. We are 209 ACLJ champions away for our goal. Folks, if we could get under 200 for today by the weekend, we're going to get there by next week. So again, go to ACLJ.org /champions. Let me play for you what the UN Secretary General said he should be resigning and the world leadership should be calling for his resignation. And the British are starting to do that. Take a listen.
It is important to also recognize the attacks by Hamas did not happen in a vacuum. The Palestinian people have been subjected to 56 years of suffocating occupation. They have seen their land steadily devoured by settlements and plagued by violence, their economy stifled, their people displaced, and their homes demolished.
Okay. I'm going to stop it right there because you want to talk about, and Professor Hutchinson made a reference to this during the break, and I think it's important here. You know how many Jews were displaced? That were living in Arab countries with homes and businesses? Harry?
There were 800,000 Jews living in Arab countries around 1950. Virtually each and every one of them has been displaced. And now Hamas wants to continue this displacement effort by eliminating all Jews in the Middle East. So what this particular war is about, it's about the existence of the Jewish state. Yep. And so Palestinian leadership, not necessarily the Palestinian people, they are pushing the following slogan: from the rivers to the sea, Palestine shall be free. Free of what? Free of the Jews.
Yep.
So this is an existential conflict, and this should engage everyone.
Joanne's calling from Ohio on line two. Joanne, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. Hey. Just two real quick points. Under Secretary Pompeo and Trump, didn't we not give visas to these Iranian diplomats?
Correct.
You know, why are we letting them in, number one, for them to come and say all these disparaging things in our country? And number two, the world is on fire, and Joe Biden went back to Rehoboth Beach for the weekend.
Yeah, so Mike Pompeo, our colleague here at the ACLJ, when he was Secretary of State, did deny visas for the Iranian officials, and I think that was the right move to do. It'd be like giving a visa to the Nazis during World War II if there was a UN. We didn't have a UN then. Obviously, it was after World War II that the League of Nations morphed into the United Nations. Okay, so that's number one. Number two. As far as the president's policies, they have not worked. I mean, that you're in a global conflict now. And as we said, Andy, with a new alignment of partners. And it's a scary, I call it in our book, an unholy alliance. I'm holding the book in my hand, folks. And get it on Amazon, by the way. This is, and it's subtitled, The Agenda of Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. Russia's weak right now because of the Ukraine conflict, but they are flexing their muscles.
Yeah, they are. To the caller's question, why would the president allow this to happen when Secretary Pompeo did not, is a misapprehension and an inability on the part of President Biden to really understand the new axis that has occurred. You are allowing a foreign minister of the biggest world sponsor of terrorism to come to the United States of America, to stand in New York City, and to threaten our nation by saying, you will not be spared. Imagine this happening in the year 2023. President Biden is impervious to the understanding of what the world has become. He doesn't understand the new axis. He doesn't understand what this permitting this to happen has really resulted in. And it's a really unfortunate happening on the part of the administration, Jay.
Yeah, it sure is. All right, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Kathy's calling from Texas. She's on line three. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I have a two-part question.
Yep.
Number one, why aren't you guys talking about the covenant that Abraham had with that God had with Abraham? Number one. Number two, if America decides to go to war with these Middle Easterners, are these kids that are marching on these college campuses, whose side are they going to be on?
Oh, they're going to be on the side. Look, the ones that are going on the protests are going to be pro-Hamas. Okay? No question. Now, there are pro-Israel students on these campuses, but they're having to run into attics to hide on their campuses because of what these social justice for Palestine people are doing, which is a front for Hamas. And the covenant with Abraham, my goodness, we've been talking about that for 40 years. That's why we're standing with Israel. I will bless those that bless thee and curse those that curse thee. So believe me, we get that covenant. But don't kid yourself. Is it going to inflame the campuses? Yes. But you know what? That can't be Israel's concern right now. They have 1,400 dead citizens, which will be the equivalent in one day of having 41,000 Americans killed in an act of war. So you don't have to even go there. Let's go to Anthony in Florida on line six. Anthony, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for being there, and also thank you so much for having Mr. Dershowitz there to bring to light the fact that there's no need for terrorist operatives to come across the border. They've already been here. They've been implanted, and professors and these numbskulls, void of conscience, moral conscience, who are marching out there, pretty much ignoramuses as far as history is concerned, terrorizing Jewish students, Christians. They're all gathered in those marches. Free Palestine. You want free Palestine? Get rid of Hamas. That's the
By the way, you want to free up Palestine or you want to free up for the Palestinian people? Don't have terrorists as your government leaders. That's a really good way to start. Don't have terrorists as your government leaders. Great way to start. But that's not what they're doing right now, Andy. Right now, Israel's got one job to do, clear Hamas out of the northern portion of Gaza.
And I think we have to understand that it is the Gazans and the people of Gaza who chose Hamas as their government. Am I wrong?
We're not fighting the Palestinians, though, because they stole there was no real election. But it's 300,000 strong is what the pro-Hamas forces are in Gaza. There's 2 million people. So 1.7 million people would like Hamas gone. Israel's going to make sure that happens.
Oh, Israel will make sure that happens. There's no doubt in my mind.
Israel had a huge intelligence failure. That's why they're being cautious, I think, Harry, in going into these regions. They had a huge intelligence failure.
They did. Yes. And certainly they were very, very slow in reacting to the fact that their border had been penetrated. You had gliders coming in, and many of the IDF troops who are normally in the south, they had been moved to the West Bank. So there was clearly an intelligence failure. And I think if you talk to experienced IDF operatives in the intelligence community, they will admit this. And I think there will indeed be a reckoning in Israel. But before the reckoning in Israel takes place with respect to the intelligence failure, Israel has to deal with an immediate threat.
I'm going to say this also, and I'm telling you, folks, I think by tonight we're going to be seeing in our living rooms what's going on down there. Now, having said that, let me tell you something. Your support of the ACLJ is the reason we can do all this. Bring this broadcast, go to the United Nations, go to the European Parliament, fight this in court, represent Israel's interests globally, but also representing your interests. Support the work of the ACLJ, you become an ACLJ champion. It's that simple. ACLJ.org/champions. That's ACLJ.org/champions. It's that important. Stand with us as we stand with Israel. ACLJ.org/champions. Any amount you donate, any amount you donate monthly makes you that champion. And that's how we're building our budget. ACLJ.org/champions. And to the almost 2,000 of you, almost 1,800 for sure, of you that have joined with us in the Champions program this month, we want to say a huge thank you. Couldn't do it without you. We want to get that up to about 30,000 by next year, and we believe we can do it. ACLJ.org/champions. Have a good weekend, everyone.